All right.
Carrie's Couch. Carrie's Couch.
On Carrie's Couch today, I'm speaking to a man who is the chairperson of something called Fathers for Justice. It is more and more frequently I'm speaking to men who have landed up on the other side of a very nasty fight about children. And we all know that as much as you think you love your partner, things happen, things go sour, and unfortunately, children are used as collateral. And many a good father has been removed from his child because the ex-partner has decided that this is the way that she is going to get back at him. And I think that in June, 20th of June being Father's Day, it is really important to remind ourselves this toxic masculinity. Yes, there are some terrible dads. Yes, there are some bad men. But you know what? There are some wonderful men and some phenomenal dads, and they deserve to be with their children. So on Carrie's Couch this morning, I welcome the chairperson, the chairman of Fathers for Justice, Gary De Silva. Good morning, Gary.
How's it, Carrie? How are you doing?
I'm really good. Look, I'm sorry that we even have to have Fathers for Justice in existence, but I am glad that they exist. I didn't even know that Fathers for Justice South Africa existed. Tell me a little bit about the story. Where did Fathers for Justice come from?
Okay, so Fathers for Justice was originally started in Britain by one of the dads there, and it came to South Africa through Dr. Stephen Pretorius, who started circa the organization circa 2002-2003. I joined as an ordinary member around about 2004, became public relations officer circa 2006, and was made chairperson in August of 2019. We effectively campaigned for the rights of the child to have automatic daily physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual contact, care, guardianship, and maintenance with, by, and of its biological parents, irrespective of whether the child was born out of a one-night stand or a 20-year marriage. Mm-hmm. And it's fundamentally irrelevant of what your religious, cultural, traditional, or marital status or lack thereof is concerned. Is, are you the biological parent of that child? And I always put the parenthesis on this. In the absence of violence, abuse, or neglect, there is no compelling reason that can be offered that says that the child should not have automatic right of contact, care, guardianship, and maintenance from birth to both biological parents. You had the child together, you raised the child together. If you didn't want to have we live in the 21st century. If you don't know where children come from, you've got bigger problems than most. So we need to, as adults, take responsibility of the children. And, you know, the other thing is that the whole notion, we know that the moment one of the parents, doesn't matter who, steps into a lawyer's office or the courts, child's rights are automatically being ignored, and the child has already begun to be abused emotionally and psychologically. They are doing studies now at the moment that are saying if the parents can just behave, children can come out of a divorce with no to relatively unscathed emotional and psychological issues. If the parents just behave like adults, at the end of the relationship, are you able to talk to that person? In all likelihood, probably not.
Interesting how one day, or maybe many days, you like this person enough to sleep with them. And then you can't even look them in the eye, and you can,
didn't need the lawyer and the judge in the back of the folksy when you were doing the nasty.
So Gary, I need to ask you, and this might be a little bit personal, but why is it that you got involved with Fathers for Justice? Did you have a situation like this in your life?
Yeah, I did. And it was exceptionally traumatic for me. And it took me a very, very long time to deal with my own emotions and get through and over it.
Did you land up getting access to your child or children?
Yes. One of the biggest problems that we sit with in our society today is that there is such an unrelenting assault on the human psyche that it has rendered the vast majority of men incapable of handling the situation. Notwithstanding that, given our exceptionally bad economic situation in South Africa, that has rendered the vast majority of fathers incapable of approaching the courts to get their rights enshrined, our education system is at best useless. So you're sitting with both an educational and financial issue that automatically precludes the vast majority of fathers.
So look, I'm looking at some statistics here, Gary, and tell me if these are correct. Mm. And just like a yes or no, is it true that a number like 91% of children in a split are automatically awarded to the mother?
As recognized in responding affidavit by the Family Advocates Office in the Van Ginkel Low Fabian et al. Case at the Equality Court.
All right. And this, in a recent survey, it was found that between 50 and 74% of fathers are either partially or totally alienated from their child or children. Is this true?
That was done by a survey, so yes. It was done in a survey by us, and we are trying to gather that information so that when we go to court, we can deal in fact. We want to be dealing in fact.
All right, and how's this fact? So yes. Is this fact true, that it is in excess of 52%, up to 52% of protection orders? So these are women going to the court and saying, I want a protection order from my ex or from this man. That 52% of those are issued on false, fake, or non-existent evidence.
Correct. So, and we do know, and we have had mothers telling us this, that they are advised by their lawyers to go and make spurious claims against the father. That father can spend, by the time he figures out that he has rights, can spend anything upwards of 18 months defending the action, bearing in mind that if I lie or perjure myself in court, it is a criminal offense. And we know that the courts in South Africa simply will not prosecute a female if she purges, in this instance, if she purges herself.
How many times do you think that the women are just using the kids as collateral and it's a way to get back at this man? Or how many times do you really feel like the mom is going, I can raise this child better, and that the dad, yes, he wants to be there and he wants to play, you know, he wants to be cool, but he's not a father.
So I'm dealing with two cases right now, and the mothers are just saying, I mean, like in the one instance, the father has just been told, go away, pay maintenance, and just leave us the hell alone.
Sure, that's hard.
I mean, like the one dad, I'm hoping and praying that we can start mediation today. Parents don't understand the emotional and psychological damage that they do to themselves by going through the legal justice system. The legal justice system by default is designed to have a winner and the loser.
Yeah, okay? That's very true.
It is very adversarial by nature, and it is not dependent on whether your facts are true and correct. It's on how much money have you got and how much of a pit bull of a lawyer have you got. So facts are not relevant. Yes, you can, if you've got the money to defend and show the courts that what the other side is presenting is incorrect, but that's going to cost you upwards of 2 million rand. I'm dealing with two dads that are part of the class action suit that we are busy doing against the state. The two dads, so two families, have spent 5.5 million rand combined. The one father cannot get access to his children because it's now been mandated under order of court that the entire family have a forensic psychological evaluation. There is five members, because the one partner needs to be interviewed as well. So each person costs 80,000 rand. So this dad has now got to miraculously find 400,000 rand.
For psychiatric evaluations.
For a forensic psychological evaluation. He doesn't have the money. So because he doesn't have the money, he can't see his kids.
Gary,
how is that right?
What do you think the psychological impact is on a child who doesn't understand why dad isn't seeing them?
So there is, in girls, you will find early promiscuity. They will be placing themselves in dangerous situations.
Looking for attention from men,
Looking for the father that they never had. Girl children fall pregnant, they experiment sexually far earlier than they should. They fall pregnant far earlier than they should. They have multiple partners. And if you have a look at from a psychological point of view, women, generally speaking, are only able to pair bond with a maximum of two men. Now they're going to have multiple partners. So if they have more than two sexual partners, they now have relationship problems because they're unable to pair bond with the new partner. Both sides experience educational problems if they deny contact with their father. Children perform academically far better with in a single father home than a single mother for it. A girl child stands a 95% chance of being raped or molested in a single mothered home. It reduces to 5% in a single fathered home. Boys are more likely to experiment with drugs, alcohol. They are more generally inclined to be involved in petty and violent crime. Hmm. They are more likely to join gangs. Why? Because they are looking for the father figure. So the gang leader then becomes the de facto father.
I must actually tell you that last week on Kerry's Couch, I spoke to an ex-Cape Town gang member who said exactly that. His dad was involved in drugs. His dad was not present. And he actually said that. I felt like these older guys in the gang felt like a dad to me. There was someone to lead me, someone who seemed like they cared. And,
correct.
You know, you just want to feel like you care. And I also just wanted to ask you, you know, in a situation like I have a very good friend who's such a phenomenal dad, and I cannot tell you how great a dad he is. He and his now ex-wife have split, and it's just another situation that when she's angry with him, then you're not going to see the child. And he has got no say about who the woman's dating or who, you know, she's bringing around the child. In a situation like that, where does a dad go? Who does a dad speak to? Because at the end of the day, this is the child's mother. She's living her life. She's blocking you out. You're a great dad. You love your child. Your heart is paining. Just like anyone who loses a child, you're losing a child. Yeah. What process can a man go through to try and just get access to his own flesh and blood?
Okay, can I just answer the thing about the loss of a child? We've taken fathers through a process of mourning the loss of their living children.
My gosh, my heart. I just got to
Okay, so we do that. Okay, so this is the frustration. If I take the Children's Act of 2005 and read it at face value, I don't understand where the issue is. The issue comes in where you have psychologists, lawyers, advocates, social welfare workers that aid and abet one party in the vast majority of the instances to deny or frustrate the contact. If you have a look at it, I mean, like the average person can expect to spend anything between 100,000 and 600,000 rand in gaining access and contact rights to their children. In 2019, there was in excess of 23,000 divorces that were finalized. Okay, so that's finalized divorces. If we just take that figure, you are looking at an industry that is in excess of 6 billion rand a year revenue. Okay.
That's just horrific. What a waste of money. Because adults can't just be adults.
Yeah, because adults can't just be adults. And we call it the child abusing divorce industry. And the parents are lured into the false belief, oh, no, don't worry. Daddy's getting nothing and he's going to leave with nothing on the back of it. He's not even going to have the shirt on his back. And guess what? I can guarantee you that daddy's lawyer is telling him the exact same thing about mommy. So the war is on they are being misled into believing that I can destroy the other party.
You know what, Gary, if I might just jump in here for a second. I heard something not so long ago that I just think is so relevant for what you're saying now. And someone was talking about parents who badmouth the other parent to the children. And this person, I can't even remember where I read this or heard it. This person said, you don't understand that this child is 50% your ex. And every time you talks about that person's mother or father, you are actually telling them how you feel about them, because that little boy or girl is 50% that man or 50% that woman. And every time you say how horrific your father is, you're saying that half of you is horrific, and every child deserves to have their mom or dad on a pedestal. End of story. Okay?
End of story. And if you take a triangular relationship, so the mother, the father, the child, the child's relationship with the father has everything to do with the child and the father and nothing to do with the mother. The child's relationship has everything to do with the mother and the child and nothing to do with the father. Your concern as the mother and the father should always be that of the child. And if you are so immature, guess what? You shouldn't have had the child in the first place.
Yeah, no, not the child's fault.
It's not the child's fault. And so the changes that we have demanded in the class action suit is that we are saying that because they did not properly define the best interest of the child in relation to the child's relationship with both of its biological parents. So we are saying that section 19.20.21 must be removed, which section 19 is the rights and responsibilities of the mother. Section 20 is the rights and responsibilities of a married father. And section 21 is the rights and responsibilities of the father. So we are saying that they did not define the best interest of the child in relation to the child's relationship of both the parents. So we are saying that the child must, in the absence of violence, abuse, quantifiable, measurable, defined, provable in a court of law of violence and abuse and neglect. In the absence of that, the child must automatically have daily physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual contact, care, guardianship, and maintenance with and by and of both biological parents at all times. Any parent, parents, person, or entity that attempts in part or in whole to deny the child its automatic right must be automatically prosecuted with child abuse. We're saying that the other thing is that parental alienation syndrome, why it hasn't been classified as child abuse already, we don't know.
Look, Gary, I need to stop you here because I mean we could go on forever, but at the end of the day, what I'm hearing is, and I think this is very important to say again, in the absence of, as you're saying, violence, neglect, abuse, in the absence of these things, every single father has a right to daily interaction with his child. And as well as these parents that all of a sudden want to up and move to Cape Town or up and immigrate, it breaks my heart. If someone needs help, if they want to contact Fathers for Justice, or if they want to donate, because I know that you're running off a volunteer space, you're running off donations. How does someone get hold of Fathers for Justice?
Okay, so it's email is info@f4j.co.za. The website is www.f4j.co.za. On the website there is a link through to a WhatsApp page. I did send you the welcome note.
I'm looking at Fathers for Justice online right now, and it's heartbreaking to see some of these, the guys standing with their signs, because I mean I look at, like, my sister's got children, and I look at the dad of that, you know, of their children, and I couldn't imagine them not seeing him every day. And it happens it happens to many people. So and of course, with Father's Day coming up, perhaps right now, if you are a woman who's listening right now and you have maybe not realized that you were using your child or children as collateral, maybe this is just your sign to put your children first.
Kerry, can I just point out, we do assist mothers, eh?
So obviously it's mothers who are in the same situation.
Mm-hmm. It's not about the parents, it's about the children.
Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. So it's like in any situation. I mean, it's Fathers for Justice, but I mean, moms, if you need help too.
I mean, like, we're dealing with a couple right now, so And then the other thing is, please, the class action suit is vital. We have to get this changed. This nonsense has to stop.
So this class action suit is currently, I know that you guys, are, as of the 31st of May, you gave an extra 90 days to the court. Is that correct?
So we gave the state on the 13th of May in the parliamentary hearings, we gave the state an additional 90 days to make the necessary changes that we submitted on the 20 in January of 2020.
Okay.
We have yet to have any response from the government. I just want to point that out.
Really? No response from the government.
And I have sent numerous emails to the state.
Is there a petition or something where we can sign if we want to say we stand by this change? Is there something online, or do you want to start something that we can get people to go and put their signatures down so we support this?
Okay, so I've got a document. I just need to, I've got a document that we can put out there.
Sure, Gary De Silva, I'm very grateful. I took a lot of your time, but thank you so much for speaking to us. It is Father's Day on the 20th of June, and to all the dads, and I mean to all the dads, we have got your back. We're going to be looking after you. To the moms as well, if you need the help, we're there for you. And you know what? If you are a father and you haven't yet stepped up, it is never too late. Just remember, there is a child sitting waiting for you just to show them the love they deserve. It is never too late. Today must be your sign. Could be. I hope it is. Gary De Silva, thank you so much.
Gary, thanks, Simone. It's been a pleasure.